Ron Van Dam. He's kind of a big cheese in the talk show world, and you have to admit he is pretty Gouda. Did you see what I did there? Gouda, because it's a cheese. I will see myself out. You're listening to Ron Van Dam on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
I love cheese.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm one of the people to whom they refer to in the title, kind of, sort of. You're looking lovely today. I can't say how much wonderful you look there with the loveliness. This show is listened to only by lovely, intelligent people. Welcome to the crowd. Oops, I see in the audience one dumb schmuck got in here somehow. I'm asking you to leave, sir. Thank you. Sorry, I just yawned in your face. You can't see me, but I just yawned in your face. I can't help it. I'm tired. What do you want from me? Oh, man. At the beginning of the week, I introduced the people that make this show possible. Of course, it's you. Yeah, right. And then there's me. Yeah, right. Then there's your announcer and comedy writer, John Shanahan. He really is a wonderful man. And then there's Jason Shaw, who writes, composes, and performs his music there for our opening and closing themes. He really is pretty good. And then there's Nicole Reed, who's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. She books many of our national interviews on this show, which are stupendously performed by myself. She's pretty good, too. And those are just some of the people that make this show possible. Then there's all kinds of other things that I just don't have time to talk about, and are really insignificant in the long run. Anyway, thank you for letting me into your life. This is an honor. I don't take this lightly. Not as much as you think I do, or what it sounds like I do. I don't take this lightly. To infiltrate myself into your life, wow, it's a burden. It's a burden. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat and I sit up in bed and I go, oh my God, Mary Ellen, I'm in her life. Oh, this is something. I don't know who Mary Ellen is. See, that's the great thing about doing this. I talk to people and I have no idea who they are. It's a luxury. You have no idea. I have formed relationships with people that I don't even know. Very similar to Facebook, yes. I bring up Facebook quite frequently. We have thousands of listeners just on that stupid Facebook platform alone, but it is just so damn stupid. It's unbelievable. It's just every time I go on that Facebook piece of crap, I am... I'm just astounded about the fact that I'm even there. It's just, I have like tens of thousands of friends that I don't even know, and they won't even help me move or paint the living room. They won't do anything for me. They listen to me. And what do I do for them? I don't know. I just don't know. Anyway, It's a relationship born in hell, but what isn't, right, huh? Right, huh? Unless you have a dog. If you have a dog, it's unconditional love. Since the pandemic was horrible, people died, a lot of them, people we knew, because Trump said it was nothing. No, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't just go about your lives. Nothing's wrong. Oh, okay. Oh, no. Grandpa died. It's not good. It was not good. It was not good. But there were some benefits from the pandemio. That's the Italian way of saying pandemic, pandemio. We all know that. There were two benefits. One was the fact that we couldn't go near anybody or touch anybody. God sent. Thank you very much for that period of time. That was like a vacation from stupidity. Yeah, I didn't have to be close to you. Yeah, I can't be there. I can't have lunch with you. I can't see you. I can't. With pandemic, sorry, I can't do it. Can't touch, can't do anything with you. Don't even come close to me. Don't even come close to me. Let's make believe that I have a restraining order against you and you can't come close to me. Let's make believe during the extent of this pandemic, shall we? That kind of thing. But then on the other hand, if you lived with somebody, you had to be shut in with them for a period of time, and that wasn't great. But, you know, in the long run, it's good for you. It's good for you. It's good to get to know the person that you're living with for a change. But the best thing that came out of the pandemic, if there was anything at all, was man and woman's relationship with dogs. Cats, yeah, sure. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, right. But dogs, that was an explosion of things. And let's face it, I'm going to be honest with you. It was it had to do with how much money you had. If you wanted a dog and you were fairly well off, you bought yourself a $3,000 to $5,000 designer dog, which was that breed mix that everybody wants. That cost you money. Don't have any money? You're going down to the rescue place. You're going to pick yourself up a Rottweiler or a Pitbull. I mean, that's just the way it went, man. That's the way it went. And you gotta wonder if you're rescuing a Pitbull or a Rottweiler, why did they give that dog up? I might have a clue. Thank you. Now, some people love their pit bulls, and I'm not putting you down or anything like that, but chances are you realize your dog isn't exactly friendly to other people. To you, love you to death, will protect you to the ends. Other people will chew them up and spit them out in a second. Okay. But we love our dogs, and that's just been a wonderful thing. And there's nothing like the relationship between a human being and a dog. But it's got to stop there. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's got to stop there. Okay. Oh, my. I read an article in the Boston Globe, one of the worst newspapers in the world. If you want to get a delivery of the newspaper, don't get that one. They do not deliver that crap. They don't. Ron, you know, you can read our paper online. Oh, shut up with the online stuff. If I hear one more person say online or app, I've had it. Stop it. Just stop it now. You've gone too far with technology. You've taken it too far. You took a good thing and then you shoved it in our face to the point where we can't exist without your stupid little app and your stupid little phone. I told you a story. I bought tickets to the ballet, the freaking ballet, in a large, well-done theater through Ticketmaster. And I bought the tickets, and then I went to print the tickets, and then my computer tells me, you can't print these tickets. The only way you can get into the venue is to show this stupid little barcode on your phone, but it had to be a live barcode. Couldn't be a picture of it or anything like that. What? Why can't I print the ticket? I don't know. but you can't get in unless you have a cell phone and that app and that thing live with internet possibilities. What the fuck? What are you talking about? Get the fuck out of here. What are you talking about? You've taken technology way too far. So I go to another venue in Providence where you can print your ticket or you can use your stupid little phone. So I'm in line to get in. You know, first they have to check your pockets and make sure you're not carrying some type of explosive device. And I appreciate that. I like that, actually. I don't want other people walking in with explosive devices if I'm not going to walk in with an explosive device. Hey, what's that in your bag? Oh, a pressure cooker. Get out of here with that. Get out of the place. So I get through that, and then you're in a line to show your ticket to get in the door. And I have my little printed ticket, and I flash it in front of the guy, and I get in. No hassle, no worries. I don't even stop walking. I'm just continue moving my legs. He's scanning me with my little piece of paper. I don't even stop. But everybody else, they have it on their phones. Oh, wait a minute. I got to call this up on my phone. I am. Hold on now. Hold on. I got to call this up on the phone. I'm not getting. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. It's here somewhere. It's here somewhere. That's supposed to make things faster. And they'll tell you, please get it on your phone before you reach the usher there, the door person. Please get it up on your phone so you don't waste time and make the lines longer. Sorry. And people get it up on their phone. Then they get to the front of the door, and it's like, it was here a minute ago. Wait a minute. I gotta call this up on my phone. Let's see. I got it here. And what's my password? Douchebag. That's right. How do you spell douchebag? Wait a minute. It's not faster. It's slower. And what makes you think everybody has a phone? And if they do, how good is it that they can call stuff up like a magician all of a sudden? Print the damn thing out, flash it in front of the scanner, and walk in. Takes 2 seconds, not even. As I said, you don't even have to break the pace of your movement. What's the problem with that? What was the problem? Well, we have to verify that it's you. Why? Why do you have to verify it's me? Whoever has the ticket gets in. What's your problem with that? How is that a problem for you? Technology has gone too far. No, I don't want to read the paper on a small screen. Thank you very much. Deliver the paper to me so I can drink my coffee and have the paper in my lap. Oh, I'm sorry, we're not capable of delivering because we're idiots. Boston Globe, up your little pie hole. Anyway, I was reading in the Boston Globe. Ron, how far off track are you going to get today? Oh, pretty far. Just hold on, you'll see. So I'm reading it, and there's a story that just blows my little mind. It's about the cicadas. No, they're not your neighbors. Did you hear about the cicadas next door? No, the cicadas, I don't know what you call these things. They're these bugs, and every few years or every 14 years, depending on what part of the country you live in, they make noises and they feed off of the trees, and there's like millions of them on the ground, millions. It looks like a carpet of bugs. They're like cockroaches. They're huge. Some people eat them. Why do they eat those bugs? Because there's so many. You'll never go hungry. Well, here's, and in some parts of the country, again, it's a manifestation of infestation. Not where I live, but in other parts of the world, it's like going to be like crazy. The cicadas are coming. You know, they said Jesus is coming. Cicadas first. Cicadas first, Jesus maybe sometime later. Here's what they say about the cicada. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it properly. The cicadas. Here's their biggest claim to fame. And I didn't know this. This is going to astound you. And you can tell this to your friends and you'll say, Ron told me. Their pee stream. Yes, I guess these bugs actually do pee. Their pee stream is the strongest amongst all creatures. Stronger than the elephant, stronger than the horse that pees in the middle of the parade route. It's got the strongest pee stream of anything, and stronger than human beings. Yes, of course. An incredibly strong pee stream. As a matter of fact, it's so strong when they pee, you can hear it. When a bug pees, you can hear it. That's the cicada bug thing. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, the cicadas have the strongest pee stream in the world. Unless they're over 60 years old, then not so much. Okay. I have an interesting guest coming up on today's show, and I hope that you'll join me for that. In the meantime, I'm going to step aside right now. Well, all right, you can't hear me if I step aside. All right, forget it. I'm not going to step aside. I did want to talk about, how can I put this tastefully? The fact that you annoy me. I've talked about this before. I'm a fun-loving, no, that's not true. I'm a person-loving person. I do love people, but only when they're lovable. When they're not lovable, I don't love them. And the number of people that are not lovable is increasing massively. I don't have to love you just because you're a human being. That's step number one in my 8-step program. I will only love you if you are lovable. Do you have to love me back? No, I don't expect that. Not at all. But you have to be somewhat lovable. Now, am I lovable? Unbelievably so. Unbelievably so. I'm a man of respect. I don't curse. I don't use the F word anywhere because I wasn't brought up like that. I'm respectful of all. I'm respectful of your feelings and your views as long as you respect mine. That's good. I can live with that. People that are conversationally apt, where they say something and they say, well, how do you feel about that? That's called a conversation. When you just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and the only thing I can get in edgewise is, That's a monologue. You don't need me as a sounding board. You can talk to a door in your house or something, but you don't need a living, breathing person to listen to your expounding and exhaling of words. But I respect conversation. I enjoy conversation. When one person says something and then says, and how do you feel about that? Well, this is how I feel about that. And what about you? And it goes back and forth in various subject matters. That's conversation. I enjoy them. I will stick around for a long period of time until I have to get up and pee. Not a problem. Loving. I am loving. However, you need to be lovable too. You can't just sit there with your arms folded and go, listen to me, I am wonderful. No, you can't do it. I don't know. It's not going to work for me. But one cannot be honest in life. You cannot say what's on your mind. If you do, you'll be chastised. You'll be called a strange person. And it will not work out for you in any way, shape, or form in anything that you do. So, part of what I learned in life, and it was a very good life, and it still is going. What I've learned in life is sometimes you just have to shut up. That's it. Sometimes you just have to shut up. You may have something you want to say, something that the other person said that really prompted you to respond, but sometimes it's better just to shut up. Don't say anything, walk away, end it, don't do it again with that person. Don't get into arguments that are just going to frustrate you. There's no point. There's no reason. It's, ready for this? Beneath you. Associate with those you wish to associate with. Ron, what about family members? There you can be a little bit honest, but if you do, watch out. Watch out. Because family members are just people too, with different lives and different ideas and different viewpoints and different perspectives. And if you respect them, okay. You don't have to talk them out. Just say, okay, that's the way you feel. It's the same as any other human being. Sometimes you just have to shut up. And if you're married, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, my guest will be joining us. But first, there's this.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Dr. Amit Khera joins us now. He's professor and director of preventative cardiology at UT Southwestern Medical Center. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, here's the question that is being posed. Does anybody know anyone who all of a sudden was in perfect health, just normal, wonderful life, everything's fine, and then in a split second, they have a stroke? One would think that's not really possible if you're running around and having a good time, but I guess that does happen, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, heart disease is the number one cause of death in the United States, and stroke number three. And you know, combined, we don't appreciate enough that these happen all of a sudden, and you don't feel anything most of the time leading up to it. So it can happen all of a sudden, and we really need to be screened to be aware of our risks.
Yeah, apparently so. And this can be hereditary or maybe sometimes not that either.
That's right. You know, we always think about lifestyle factors and exercise, incredibly important. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe more than half of heart disease is genetic. We inherit it from our parents. And so today we're talking about a specific type of inherited condition called mm-hmm. the lipoprotein A, which is a genetic cholesterol that, again, you get from your parents, has mm-hmm. nothing to do with your lifestyle and can really increase the risk of heart disease.
Doctor, during a normal annual physical, which everybody should have, by the way, they would give you a blood test and you'd be able to discern at that point if we have a problem with your lipids.
Yes and no. First, I get my annual physical, so I'm glad that you said that. But, you know, the standard lipid profile, which people have been getting for decades, certainly is very important. But lipoprotein A, again, something that we're talking about mm-hmm. today, is not routinely measured, and we really want it to be screened more broadly.
Oh, my God. Why would it not be routinely measured? Did they not know that this was a possibility at a point?
Yeah, great question. You know, it's really, you know, it's been known about lipoprotein A since the 1960s, but really awareness and appreciation for how it contributes to heart disease and newer treatments that are emerging have only been in the last few years. So that's why there's greater awareness about getting it screened in almost every individual.
Would it be treated, once discovered, would it be treated differently than if you had high cholesterol anyway? I mean, or is it a special category within itself?
It is a special category for a couple of reasons. One, again, being genetic means that there's a 50-50 chance that one's, you know, siblings and children can have it. So once one has it, making sure you screen the family is incredibly important. The second thing is, although there's no direct treatments, they're in evolution, and we hope in the next year or two to have direct treatments, it does tell us that we need to be more aggressive about our blood pressure, our cholesterol, you know, other things that we really think about for preventing heart disease.
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, that goes without saying. Americans eat, like, horribly, and it catches up with you. But if it's genetic, that's going to be the way it is anyway, and you have to be careful anyway. So if one is on, say, Lipitor at this particular juncture in their lives, and that's a lot of people over 40 years old, that's not necessarily the end of the story. Is that what you're saying?
That is. I mean, first, your point's well taken. A lot of people take statins and cholesterol medicines, but you know, there's a whole lot of people that could have, about one in five people in the United States, 60 million, have an elevated lipoprotein, and I bet you the vast majority are not taking Lipitor currently. And so this is why it's important to know about it. It gives you an opportunity for treatment, particularly for those that are not treated or not appreciating their family history.
Wow. Okay. Does one need to ask their doctor for this, or how do you discover this? Is this a conversation one must have with their primary care person?
I'm glad you asked that question. First, it's a simple blood test, so it's not a fancy, sophisticated test. But you do have to ask, because most physicians aren't checking it. You know, if there's some barriers to getting it checked, one can look into the Family Heart Foundation. They can connect you with those providers and do have an opportunity for free screenings for some individuals.
Yeah. I mean, heart disease is at the top of that horrible thing list, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunately in the 20th century and beyond, it's been the number one cause of death every year except for during our pandemics. And so it has not gone away, and we still need to do more.
Okay, all right. Tell me about the Family Heart Foundation.
Sure. You know, the Family Heart Foundation is the patient-centered organization for research and advocacy around lipoprotein A. So if people want information about lipoprotein A or to get connected to providers or treatment, I think that's a great place to go.
Okay, wonderful. But we do need to tell our doctors about it and just have that conversation, and you can take it from there. Okay.
I think you said it right.
Yeah, okay. That's important stuff to know. I thought that my journey was over, but perhaps I need to check out the road a little bit better.
Well said.
Yeah, well, it was a crazy analogy, but what are you going to do? All right. One more time to go for more information.
You can go to the findlpa.org, which is a great website to get more information.
Perfect. Doctor, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Take care. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Thanks for tolerating this. But until that time comes, I wish you peace.